You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
And we're taking a look at Itala Bank, the institution that has been operating for quite some time and facilitating some transactions primarily in the KZN province. I believe it is a state-owned institution. They'd been going for a banking license for some time, and there've been some developments out of that stable from the Prudential Authority announcing that part of the reasons why that exemption was not continuously granted or was not renewed at this stage, rather, was because of the systems that Itala was running. As you know, I like to bring in a banking specialist when we discuss all things banking, and I thought we'd chat to our resident banking specialist, director at Denka Capital, Kuki Koyman, around this and try and understand what's going on here. Good evening, Kuki. Lovely to speak to you as always. Let's start with a bit of an update around Itala as it stands. Is the bank operational? Is the institution kind of still running at the moment?
Hi, Jimmy. I assume it's still running because the Prudential Authority did appoint someone to also do investigations and to curb the special license they had to take deposits. But that means they can't take new deposits, but they can still continue. And my last understanding was that they can still continue making new loans. But obviously you need to fund them, and you've got to fund them from repayment from old loans. So you're actually circulating money, which is very tough. So the bank has been severely curbed. But the concern now has been that in the Prudential Authority's report to the Parliamentary Standing Committee on Finance, that didn't, as you said, it didn't renew the license for it to, or the special permission for it to allow it to take deposits because of a few reasons. The one is the one that we've known in the background the whole time is that the bank was having liquidity or solvency issues. It wasn't profitable. In fact, it's now, I see the loss for the last 2 years is 520 million rand. And that means that shareholders have got to put in 520 million rand to enable the bank just to operate profitably again. But the new concern, and I suppose that's having spent time there now that the PA is coming to these conclusions or insights, is that the operating systems on which the bank operates are very old, and in fact are so old that the software supplier that originally supplied them and is not named has discontinued doing software renewals or maintenance on those systems, and that opens the bank to a lot of risk. It can't report properly to the Prudential Authority, and it also opens it to cyber crime or cyber attacks. Okay, now it gets really interesting, because in the report it said that the bank had suffered a number of cyber attacks causing financial loss. Secondly, it also says that it had spent 37.5 million on trying to upgrade its systems. It seems like a Mahindra was used, but that money is gone and nothing was done. So now there are two allegations, one of misallocation of funding for a tech project which wasn't done, which is also, the supervisor says, not being tried to collect the money back, or nothing is being done to get the money back. Okay, the CEO now, Tulani Vilakazi of Itala, says that is not true. He says that there have been no cyber attacks and hence no losses from cyber attacks, and also that a civil case and a criminal case has been opened and that process is underway to try and recover that 37.5 million. So it's a bit worrying when you've got two direct contradictions there as to what's actually happening. But the bottom line is it is worrying that the bank's operating systems are old and not totally functional. But it seems to have been able to operate on those systems. And so I suppose for a while it can continue to operate, but it does make it vulnerable.
Kwaki, when we look at the banks or the clients of the bank, people still have their deposits there. The bank still has north of or just shy of 3 billion rand in deposits from customers and the additional loans that they've got out there. What does that mean for customers if the bank is not able to get its exemption back from the Prudential Authority because it's also had its FSCA license suspended as well?
Quite correct. So, I mean, that is the whole reason why the Reserve Bank normally appoints a curator or appoints somebody to go in and take charge to protect depositors and effectively, because the depositors stand to lose their deposits unless the government bails them out. Now it comes into the whole realm of deposit insurance, which I'm not sure if the bank has complied with that yet and where it is. So depositors could lose their money, their deposits, but the whole reason for appointing someone is to prevent that happening and to ensure that we don't have a so-called run on the bank. Because once depositors do panic and they start taking their money out, then the bank is gone. And then it's basically a case of a few days, was once people start saying the money isn't safe, you must take it out. And even a conversation like this is actually dangerous because it could trigger something like that. And that's why it's very important, I think, that the Reserve Bank and the bank should come with a clear statement as to that deposits are safe and where depositors stand. I think this is going to be critical with the news flow surrounding the bank increasing post that report to Parliament.
Kwaki, as a banking expert, I want to get your thoughts on the state of Itala as a whole. Did the bank kind of sit on its hands for too long? I mean, the understanding behind an exemption is that it's granted so that other conditions can be met and so that at some point the bank can obtain a full banking license. Itala has been operating under an exemption for north of 10 years. Can we understand why that's the case? Did the bank not make an effort to get the licensing or to meet the requirements for the licensing?
Yeah, not enough is known at this stage. I would assume so. And one can look, if you read between the lines in terms of the information that's becoming available, that the bank, the criticism against the bank is also that its operating costs are too high. Its infrastructure for what it was trying to do is too big, and therefore the costs are too high, and that's why the bank is running at an annual loss. So I would assume that the bank, when it started, had really good projections and objectives to grow the bank and to grow into, and for that you needed these systems. But from then on, for the last 10 years, it's been running at a loss, and so there's never been money to upgrade the systems and to fulfill the requirements that the Reserve Bank wants you to be able to get a deposit, a full-blown deposit license. And I think that's really what's happened. The bank never grew or met its targets of what it wanted to do and then just fell into a trap. I mean, that's what it seems at the outside. To date, there'd be no mention actually of, besides the operating expenditure spent on systems, but there's no mention so far of fraudulent activity as we had with DBS. Yeah, so in that regard, the bank seems sound. It's got, I think, almost 300 stock files operating on it. A large amount, 40%, I think, of its assets is home loans, which also is fairly safe. So I think the bank itself is okay. It just never maybe had the right management or never the right environment to allow it to grow into what it wanted to do.
Kwaki, now that the bank has got a payments administrator appointed and there's a couple of interventions that are being put in place by the Prudential Authority and the like, does this mean that we could potentially see a change in management? How does the process kind of work from here if the Prudential Authority is not happy with the outcomes?
Yeah, certainly. The payment administrator and whoever the team that it's also obviously sent in to do more work will come back with a report. And so far I deduce from the parliamentary committee's feedback that there was no conclusion or no recommendation yet, because else that would have been. But normally you would say if in fact there had been maladministration and fraud or actually simply incompetence, then you should replace management. But that's also not that easy. You don't find good bankers under every bush, although there are a few ones that have retired now that might be available to come in on a standing basis. But we could see how long it took the Land Bank just to get back onto its feet again, as an example. So, but I think it's important that action gets taken and that more disclosure is made. I think especially for clients and depositors, they have the right to know, is the bank going to sustain, is it going to survive, because else they should switch their business.
Well, we'll certainly keep an eye on that, and we'll certainly hope that we get some insights from the relevant authorities. Thank you so much, Corky, for your insights. Always a pleasure speaking to you. That's Corky Kooyman, a director at Denker Capital, on the latest developments out of Itala Bank.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.